going to describe one component of a research grant that is being conducted by the New York State Department of Health AIDS Institute, and my presentation will focus on attitudes, testing, and treatment rates of hepatitis C and HIV among injection drug users. First, for a little background information on hepatitis, HIV/AIDS, and injection drug use. Globally, approximately 180 million people are infected with hepatitis C, and on a yearly basis, 3 to 4 million people are newly infected with hepatitis C. There are over 4 million Americans infected with hepatitis C, and in the United States, almost 90% of newly diagnosed individuals with hepatitis C also have a history of injection drug use. Injection drug use is also among the leading risk factors for HIV/AIDS in the United States and accounts for just under one-third of new HIV infections outside of sub-Saharan Africa. Currently, about 1 million Americans are infected with HIV, and 300,000 Americans are co-infected with both HIV and hepatitis C. There are approximately 170,000 active IDUs in New York State, and almost 75% of these individuals live in New York City. Injection drug users are therefore at an increased risk for contracting both HIV and hepatitis C. And historically, injection drug users have had less access to hepatitis services than they do for HIV services. For example, in many syringe exchange programs, SEPs, and methadone maintenance treatment programs, MMTPs, few services exist for them, and if they do, treatment is seldom utilized. So since there are such challenges around providing services for IDUs, we applied for and were awarded a 5-year grant from the CDC that integrates hepatitis screening, testing, prevention, and treatment into drug treatment and substance use settings that already provide HIV services to clients. The grant began back in October of 2004. And the sites chosen to participate in the study included 2 syringe exchange programs and 1 methadone maintenance treatment program. All 3 of these agencies have multiple sites throughout New York City and also provide many different types of services such as HIV testing, support groups, and outreach. The services that are being provided at the SEPs as a result of the CDC grant include, for the first time, being able to hire a hepatitis coordinator, conducting hepatitis B and C screenings, administering hepatitis A and B vaccinations, providing referrals for hep C evaluation treatment, holding support groups, as well as distributing educational materials for both the staff and the clients. And at the MMTPs, we sought to enhance their services by also hiring a hepatitis coordinator as well as a hepatitis educator, providing on-site evaluation and treatment for hepatitis C-positive clients, also holding support groups, as well as also distributing educational materials to both clients and staff on hepatitis and hepatitis HIV co-infection. This is a multifaceted project that has many different components, of which the baseline client survey, which I will be discussing in more depth today, is just one component. Other activities of the project include a medical staff survey, a non-medical staff survey, an ongoing hepatitis service tracking system, educational materials, and ongoing focus groups with both staff and clients. So again, to focus on the baseline client survey, it was an in-person 20-minute interview that was administered by the hepatitis coordinators or the hepatitis educator. It was administered in English at the methadone maintenance treatment program and English and Spanish at the syringe exchange programs. Recruitment was both active and passive, meaning that either interviewers approached clients as they entered the agency or were waiting for services, or clients and other staff at the agency referred clients to the interviewers. And participants also received a $10 incentive subway card as an incentive for their participation. So prior to the services being implemented or enhanced in the SEPs and the MMTP, participants completed the baseline client survey that had over 100 questions assessing clients' knowledge of hepatitis and HIV risks, clients' attitudes towards hepatitis and HIV prevention, clients' experiences with hepatitis and HIV testing and prevention, clients' hepatitis and HIV risk, and lastly, clients' awareness of hepatitis and HIV educational materials. Over 1,400 individuals completed a survey. Approximately 600 were from the SEPs, and 800 from the methadone maintenance treatment program. We only had 1% of clients declining to participate, so we had an overall response rate of 99%. The mean age of participants was 43. Over half were male, with more male clients at the syringe exchange programs and more female clients at the methadone maintenance treatment program. 65% self-identified as Hispanic and 27% self-identified as African American. And among those clients who had ever tested for hepatitis C and for HIV and knew their test results, almost 50% were Hep C positive, 15% were co-infected with both hepatitis C and HIV, 6% were HIV positive, and one-third had tested negative for both hepatitis C and HIV. So first we looked at knowledge, and just here's a sampling of some of the knowledge questions that we asked from the baseline client survey. As you can see, knowledge was mixed with room for improvement. 71% knew that the best way to prevent hepatitis B was by getting vaccinated. 36% knew that the statement, the best way to prevent hepatitis C is by getting vaccinated, was false. Over 50% knew that the statement, people who have both HIV and hepatitis C cannot be treated for hepatitis C, was false. And less than one quarter knew that the statement, everyone with hepatitis C needs treatment, was also false. Overall, the mean of all knowledge questions was 59% correct, with knowledge a little higher at the syringe exchange programs than the methadone maintenance treatment program. We also assessed clients' attitudes and beliefs regarding hepatitis, and here's, again, just a sampling of some of the attitude questions. And as you can see, overall attitudes were fairly favorable. Over 90% agreed or strongly agreed that they would agree to get hepatitis vaccines. And among hepatitis C-positive clients, over 90% either agreed or strongly agreed that they would get a liver biopsy if their healthcare provider recommended it, and that they would take treatment for hepatitis C if their healthcare provider recommended it. And three-fourths of hepatitis C-positive clients either agreed or strongly agreed that they would rather deal with the side effects of hepatitis C treatment than have hepatitis C. And overall, the syringe exchange program clients had more favorable attitudes than the methadone maintenance treatment program clients. So among participants, slightly over half indicated that they had been tested for hepatitis A and B, and almost three-fourths had been tested for hepatitis C, while close to 100% had been tested for HIV. Of those who had ever tested, rates for hepatitis C were much higher than for hepatitis A, B, and HIV. Again, 14% of participants reported they were Hep A positive, 21 were Hep B positive, 18% were HIV positive, 60% were HCV positive. So here are the numbers in a little more detail, and again, almost three-fourths indicated they had been tested for hepatitis C. However, 14% of clients were unsure of their testing status, and among those who ever tested, 60% were positive for hepatitis C. Now, there's been such a push for HIV prevention and testing among this population, and it appears to be working. 98% have been tested for HIV, and less than 1% were unsure of their testing status. 18% of those tested indicated they were HIV positive, with rates a little higher at the methadone maintenance treatment program. And as we expected, rates for hepatitis A testing were lower than for hepatitis C and HIV, although over half of participants did indicate they had been tested for Hep A, but one quarter were unsure of their testing status. And among those clients who had ever tested, 14% were positive for hepatitis A, and 34% indicated they had been vaccinated for hepatitis A. However, one-third reported that they were unsure whether or not they had ever had a vaccination for hepatitis A. Rates were almost identical for hepatitis B testing and vaccination status among clients. Over half of the participants indicated they had been tested for Hep B. However, one-quarter were again unsure of their testing status. Among those clients who had ever tested, 21% were Hep B positive. 35% indicated they had been tested for Hep B. However, again, one-third reported they were unsure of their testing status for hepatitis B. The most commonly reported reasons, clients stated they didn't get tested and or vaccinated for hepatitis, included they didn't know they should be tested or vaccinated, they weren't offered testing and vaccination, and they didn't know about hepatitis or that testing and vaccinations were available. We also asked clients about their current and their past drug use. 60% reported they had ever injected drugs, over one quarter had injected drugs in the past 12 months, and 83% had taken methadone in the past 12 months, with obviously much higher rates at the methadone maintenance treatment program. We also found that males were more likely to have ever injected drugs or injected in the past 12 months, whereas females were more likely to have taken methadone in the past 12 months. Furthermore, white individuals were also more likely to indicate they had ever injected drugs, injected in the past 12 months, or taken methadone in the past 12 months. also looked at, we did some odds ratios, and clients who indicated they had ever injected drugs were 15 times more likely to be hepatitis C positive, 2 times more likely to be HIV positive, and 5 times more likely to be co-infected with both hepatitis C and HIV. And if they had injected drugs or taken methadone in the past 12 months, they were 3 times more likely to be hep C positive, and if they had taken methadone in the past 12 months, they were 2 times more likely to be co-infected with both hepatitis and HIV. We also looked at treatment readiness, and we found that 76% of the hep C positive clients had discussed treatment with a healthcare provider, 62% stated they were ready for treatment now or sometime in the near future, and 30% of hep C positive clients had actually decreased their alcohol use after their positive diagnosis for hepatitis. So among hepatitis C positive clients, you can see that 92% claimed they would get a liver biopsy if it was recommended by their healthcare provider, whereas in actuality, only 22% had ever had a liver biopsy. And again, liver biopsies are not necessary for all hep C positive clients, but still there's a big difference there. And similarly, 91% also claimed they would get hepatitis C treatment if it was recommended by a healthcare provider. However, only 15% of hep C positive clients had actually received hep C treatment. Again, treatment may not be needed or they might not be eligible for treatment, but still there's a marked difference between intentions and what's actually happening. So here you can see that only 15% of hep C positive clients are in treatment for hepatitis versus 82% of HIV positive clients. It's also interesting that only 10% of hepatitis C positive clients indicated they declined hepatitis C treatment versus 17% of HIV positive clients refusing treatment for HIV. Again, not all candidates may need or be candidates for treatment, but still the differences are striking. So therefore, just to summarize the data, at baseline, clients were only moderately knowledgeable about hepatitis. However, they did have favorable attitudes toward hepatitis testing, vaccinations, and treatment. And we found that clients in SEPs and MMTP settings have higher rates of hepatitis C than HIV, although hepatitis services are accessed at much lower rates than HIV services are. So, therefore, hepatitis vaccinations and testing should be encouraged among this population, and increasing access to hepatitis education, vaccinations, testing, treatment services should also be made readily available. In addition, it's also important to make sure clients really understand what they're being tested and or vaccinated for. Follow-up needs to be done with clients to ensure they receive and understand their test results. And lastly, we found it is possible to integrate hepatitis services into these settings. And lastly, I'd just like to thank our partners, New York Harm Reduction Educators, St. Anne's Corner of Harm Reduction, and Albert Einstein College of Medicine. Thank you for your time. Co-infection rate was fairly high. 15% were co-infected with both hepatitis C and HIV, with rates higher at the methadone maintenance treatment program. Yes. And again, these are just for clients who knew both their status of hepatitis C and HIV. So it's probably much higher. It actually is higher. When we just asked individually, it was much higher, but these are just the rates that knew their combined status. So, and as you can see, like 25% did not know a lot of times their hepatitis C status.
I have a question about your hepatitis knowledge test. Was it simply true or false?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I have to disagree with your conclusion about there being moderately knowledgeable. Because with the scoring 60% on a true false test, whereby at random they're going to be 50%, you have to conclude, in fact, that they're remarkably ignorant about hepatitis C and hepatitis B. And in fact, one of the things we have useful in designing these studies is to have a true-false, I don't know category. Because that way...
Actually, we do have a don't know, but we consider that to be
an
incorrect answer. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, it was true-false, don't know. I didn't realize that.
But still, 60% is, it's awfully close to random in the methadone patients who are at 50%, so...
No, there's a lot of room for improvement.
I think we need to be quite honest about our failure to educate people about hepatitis. And yes, I'm glad you're doing this work. It's important work. But we really need to start from an understanding that the population has been, it's also reflected in the HIV testing rates of 95%. These people have been saturated with an HIV message. They, mm-hmm. they know this cold.
Yes.
You give them an HIV test, they'll score higher than they scored in any test they ever took in high school. But we really need to work on hepatitis, and we've learned from training them about HIV that they can listen to the message, they can adapt the message, they can learn from it, but it needs to be out there.
Right, in part, that's what, yeah.
To emphasize more and more that it's not that they're moderately done, it's that we have a huge gap that we have to make up.
No, that's definitely true. And we're also doing a follow-up. We're actually in the process right now of following up these same individuals and seeing, since this program has been in place, if things have changed, because now there's the hepatitis educators and coordinators that are disseminating all the information, running support groups, handing out literature. So hopefully there's be a positive change over time. Any other questions? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, what? It's not necessary for all clients. When they've been evaluated, it depends. It's relatively new, but not all hepatitis C positive clients need a biopsy. When they go in and their medical provider evaluates them, they'll determine if they need a biopsy or not. It does, but not all candidates are. I mean, not all clients are candidates for a biopsy. So just because they have hepatitis C does not automatically mean they will get a biopsy. Chances are pretty good they will, but it's not 100%. We have many clients who they've not needed to have biopsies.
You can start with ultrasound, first of all, and a variety of liver function tests. And if the liver function tests indicate a serious problem, then for people with genotype 1, you want to do a biopsy. Because you don't want to treat them or offer treatment to them unless you know they really have cirrhosis, because they don't respond that well to the current therapy. They have genotype 2 or 3, which are unfortunately less common in the United States.
But easier to treat.
But they're much easier to treat, and you don't even have to bother to do a biopsy.
Of the side effects?
That can be managed if you get good clinical help. I mean, treating hepatitis C for a year in an HIV positive patient or even 15 or 18 months is an ordeal. And on the other hand, the work we're seeing in the United States and now the work we're seeing in Russia that I'll report on next, the biggest cause of mortality in HIV positive drug users now is hepatitis C related end-stage liver disease. So we're going to have to hope that we get better medication soon. In the meantime, we're going to have to work with physicians to get them to better manage the side effects of hepatitis C treatment, which can be significant.
I think your discussion for the last 5 minutes may indicate part drawback from both of your conclusions about education and Hep C. It's really complicated for the guy on the street to even understand
it's
what
you're
talking about.
That's true.
Let alone that they score very well. You ask a question and it comes up with very sophisticated, very shaven, specific cases with this intervention or this factor, that's really hard to get translated into the street for somebody to say, now what are you supposed to do? Well, it's got to get down to A, B, or C. But the guys on the street with clouded mind and heads that are swimming in drugs aren't going to grasp it. I'm sorry, they're just not. It's got to be matter of fact, to the point, yes or no. If it's not, it's not going to sell.
And these are self-report.
This is self-report, yes. So it's not, one of the other things we've done with the study is actually look at chart review data.
Okay.
And that's what we're in the process of doing right now with the methadone maintenance treatment program to see see if clients' perceptions of their testing is actually accurate according to their medical chart review. We've actually found there's a big disconnect, too, between what clients think they've been tested for or vaccinated for and what's actually occurred in reality. A lot of them, you know, think they're positive, they're not. They think they're negative, no, they're actually positive. There's a big disconnect.
I think that's really what the information you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. What is their perception of what they've done?
Mm-hmm.
Is really important. Because you're dealing with people that are wild, right? I mean, they're drug users.
Yes.
So they're as cloudy and mostly reviewed work with drug users. They don't think cognitively well. They're very slow. They're trying to grasp what you're talking about. It's not easy to grasp the world of anti-drugs at the same time. People forget that sometimes. And then, so if you're saying, what's the difference between what's really happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important, because you can go back and say, okay, let's figure out where you really are, let's pull your charts.
Yep.
Let's not go on what they think.
Right. So that's one of the things we're doing with this project. Yes. Right, that's what we're looking at through the chart reviews, and there's also a disconnect there because a lot of providers initially have been hesitant to treat injection drug users, but now there's more and more literature coming out that it's actually a viable group they can treat, and more providers, at least in the New York City area, are willing to treat and taking on IDUs. It's quite
sad. Right.
Right.
Well, in Connecticut, at least, HIV care for people co-infected with very expensive interferon and ribavirin treatment is part of our Connecticut AIDS Drug Assistance Program. So it's good for people who are HIV, Hep C co-infected,
mm-hmm.
not so good for the people who are mono-infected.
And most of the IDUs are Medicaid eligible or already have Medicaid, too, so that's at least helpful for getting treatment.